The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We are always glad to have you. Today, we're going to have another amazing show, as we usually do on Fed Access. But we're going to have a show that is really, really kind of special because we're going to be talking about something really, really important that I think everybody should hear. We're going to be talking about character. And usually, you know, I go into a number of different issues, whether it be national security issues or veteran issues or career issues. But today, we're going to be talking about something that I think is something that we need to really have a conversation in federal government, in government contracting, in our corporations, and just in our life in general about, you know, character and about how we interact with people and how we conduct ourselves and how we do things that's going to help us succeed, but also help other people succeed. I have a special guest with me, Dr. Jack London. He is the executive chairman and chairman of the board of CACI International. They are one of the biggest government contractors. If you've kind of watched them over the years, they have grown to be one of the biggest government contractors that out there who are doing a number of different things, whether it be intelligence and other areas of defense and other areas of the government contracting sector. And they are really providing some great support. And Dr. London has been part of that growth coming out of a number of different areas. Dr. London, welcome to Fed Access.
Derek, thank you so much. It's absolutely a pleasure to be here. I've heard so much about the good work that you all are doing and have done, and it's my pleasure and honor to be here.
It's our honor to have you, Dr. London. You know, I thought we'd start off and really kind of go into, you know, some of your background, because I think people should understand, you know, where you've come from. And then we'll get into your book, which is called Character, the Ultimate Success Factor. Give us a little bit about you, Dr. London, and kind of your origins.
Surely. Well, I'm coming out of the Midwest, the state of Oklahoma, where I was raised. Went to the into the United States Naval Academy, and I'm a graduate of the class of 1959, so just recently celebrating our 55th anniversary.
Outstanding.
I want to say I left that, the academy. I went into naval aviation in the 60s and carrier helicopter pilot in pursuit of Soviet submarines in those days. But then left the Navy in the early 70s and affiliated here with CACI. So I've been with the organization here at CACI some we're over 43 years now, and very proud of that career here. I must say that tremendous impact on my life through the as a result of my affiliation with the United States Naval Academy. It really changed the direction of my life. The notions of the honor, courage, commitment, the kinds of things of integrity, character, and those I'll call them important personality values and attributes were instilled in that that time period, and really became part of what I'd like to say is how I comport myself in these days. So it was a major part of my life, being associated with the United States Navy, of course, and during the Cold War, a lot of high intense activity, participated in the Cuban Missile Crisis, for example, in the early 60s. But that's how I wound up with CACI, and moved myself up over the years from a project director role into the CEO, and became CEO and president of the corporation in 1984. And it's been a series of interesting adventures and activities. Obviously, the technology world is ever evolving, but it's wonderful to be a part of that through this interesting era of our national history.
You know, Dr. London, and you know, you, like you said, you've been a part of a company that has grown tremendously over the past number of years. But, you know, a lot of people think about companies and they think about, you know, what's happening right now. You've been with this since the kind of the infancy stages and kind of seen the transformation. You know, talk about how did you deal with transformation? Some companies don't make it and don't adjust to transformation. They don't adjust to change of society. I mean, and, you know, since you have been in charge since that time period, there's been so many evolutions. evolutions of technology and so many evolutions of what's going on in our society. How did you adjust the company that way?
I started as the employee number 35.
Wow.
CECI.
Okay.
We had been in business, a very small individual task consulting type of organization and a simulation and modeling type of work. But what has happened as we've evolved, I was very much interested in larger systems kinds of programs and contract opportunities. The company has built itself over the years. We're very adaptable, flexible. We have very responsive to the marketplace. I think that's part of our culture, is the entrepreneurial, innovative, creative kinds of things we do here at this corporation. Have a fine track record over the years of doing that. We have an excellent performance track record as well. Derek, so all these elements feed into it, but I would say that one of the things that I'm most proud of is, quite frankly, our image and reputation. Our performance record is certainly at the head of the pack in our industry in terms of our reliability, trustworthiness, and how we've been able to comport ourselves in responding to contract needs and requirements. So we're very proud of that, and I think it has a lot to do with our culture. Our notion of giving our best, doing our best. We've tried to be a role model in our industry. And all of these things have fed into the, if you will, the lifestyle of this company, the people in this company. So that's been a long, steady pull, you might say, but one we've enjoyed.
And before I go into the book, Dr. Lund, because I think, again, this builds up into what we're talking about, character. The company, CACI International, which people can find at CACI.com, and you can see Dr. Lund's bio on there as well. You can see all the great things he's done. But the industries you serve and the industries that you have evolved the company to be right now, what kind of company is CACI in terms of serving the marketplace? What do you provide?
$3.5 billion or so in annual sales. We have about 120 offices around the planet, about 15,000 employees or so. Our focus is military security, national security, and government transitional kinds of systems and capabilities. We do a lot of work for the military services and information systems and technology, communications network services. We do work for the intelligence community and the same technological focus and special applications and needs. We've a long history of serving in large-scale computing systems and support systems for organizations like the Department of Justice. So we have a broad record of and special technologies and applications in these fields and supporting these agencies. We're very much mission-oriented, focused on the needs and requirements of our clients and how to bring technology to bear to enhance the productivity and the viability of government systems and products and services for our citizens, and most importantly, in the whole realm of serving the national security, the military services in particular.
And I wanted people to understand that, because you've gone from being employee number 35 to now 15,000 employees around the world and all these different things you have going on. And I want to kind of say this, that no matter what the case is, whether you're, you know, working in small business or you're in, you know, working at a small team, character is something that you should have regardless, whether you're an individual who's not even in charge of a team, or you're a leader who's in charge of a small team, or if you're somebody who's in, you know, in charge of a major organization with thousands and thousands of people. What led you to start writing this book about character, and what kind of brought that on?
Derek, I've been very uncomfortable over the last couple of decades. I've been focusing a lot on culture, character, ethics in our company, and sort of watching the world around me. If you look back over the last decade or so, you had the Enron situation, WorldCom, mm-hmm. the incredible activities of Bernie Madoff in the financial arena. You've seen all kinds of concerns and issues, the military problems with sexual harassment, abuse, and so forth. That's widely publicized as virtually an epidemic. So we've seen a lot of these kinds of things happening out there, and I know that in a services type of organization, which are composed of the people, the work we do for our clients, that integrity is a basic, fundamental attribute that we've got to all share and focus on. So we've insisted, if you will, that we keep our standards high, and that's been the momentum, I guess, that's led me to think about writing a paper a few years ago for our people, a pamphlet on the issue of character, integrity, and values. But the more I got into it, the more I saw around me.
You couldn't stop writing.
We could write a book.
That's right.
So it turned into a book, which we published here not too long ago.
Hold that thought real quick, Dr. London. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Dr. Jack London. He has written a book, and the book is called Character, the Ultimate Success Factor. And I'm going to talk about where you can find the book and where you can get a copy of it, because it's a great book. But Dr. Jack London is Executive Chairman and Chairman of the Board of CACI International. You can find him at CACI.com. But he's come a long way from a company of 35 people to now 15,000 people, billions of dollars in profits, and doing a number of great services for government and everything else. And he's written this book because he's been concerned about what he's seeing in society and how there's been a loss of character, and we need to bring that back. We're going to keep this conversation going when we come back. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about something that I think we all need to listen to, something that I think we all need to make sure we have. And sometimes we need to do a gut check to see if we're applying this in our lives. We're talking about the book, Character, The Ultimate Success Factor, is written by Dr. Jack London. He's Executive Chairman and Chairman of the Board of CACI International. They're one of the biggest government contracting firms around. They've grown over the past number of years. They've grown into an incredible company providing great services for the federal market. But in this, Dr. London has written this book that's going over a number of different things, character and integrity and vision and other areas. And we're talking about that today because it's something that we need to have in government, something we need to have in government contracting, and something we need to have in the corporations and all around our world and our individual selves. Dr. London, you were talking about what kind of, you know, spurted this idea in your mind about kind of writing a paper, and the paper evolved into this book, and now it's turned into this book we have in front of us today. You know, when you think about character and you define it for yourself or for your company or even in the book, what would you define it as?
Character to me, Derek's a great question, is essentially who you are and how you behave. It's what you believe in. It's your set of values, your moral perspectives, your notions of integrity, your notions of ethics, and perhaps paramount is your concept of doing the right thing no matter what the environment is, and not compromising your integrity in that regard. So that's how I've described character and tried to promote the idea and communicate it through the book.
You know, there was something that you really pointed out that struck me. I was reading the book, and you talked about self-accountability. You know, and I wanted to kind of hit on that because, you know, a lot of times people, and especially in this day and age, we see in the news, people don't want to have accountability for their actions sometimes. And what were you thinking about when you wrote that?
I guess it's a reflection of how I was raised, that basically to be self-reliant, that I had was going to have to learn to take care of myself. My parents are very, very modest means, lower income level individuals in the state of Oklahoma, but I like to think in the book that good character is something we can all own, that no one can ever take from us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to own it and realize that we need to be accountable for ourselves, that nobody else can be accountable for ourselves.
You know, as you think about that and accountable for our decision-making, and you talked about this, and we've seen maybe kind of a decline, I should say, of integrity. You pointed out a number, the Bernie Madoffs and everything else, almost a level of greed. I mean, we've seen it with the mortgage scandals and all this other kind of stuff. What is it right now that you think has changed where integrity is becoming an issue with people, and people seem they're willing to do whatever in order to either succeed or gain or take advantage of people? What's going on?
I'm not sure I know. I have observed it. I see a trend line. Mm-hmm. I see that things aren't going in the right direction. I think some of the things you mentioned, the greed, the lack of respect for one another, the lack of mutual respect, the intolerance, the dignity issues, decorum among trust. There's a whole lot of things involved here, and I seem to think it has to do a lot perhaps with our society writ large, more materialistically focused perhaps, but these are really challenging issues, and I know that to get the direction changed, mm-hmm. is going to take a major effort, a sustained effort by the leadership of this country, by the leadership of our organizations and institutions, whatever they may be, whether they're commercial organizations, religious, or otherwise. It is a definite priority issue. We've made it a priority, endeavoring to make it a priority here at the company. So there's ways to get the emphasis back on doing the right thing.
You know, Dr. London, when you look at, especially, and you talk about individual integrity, you talk about organizational integrity, and when you look at this market sometimes, there is this market of kind of like do what you have to do to succeed, and you know, if you got to cut corners and everything else. And sometimes the dynamics of cutting corners, and we both know, especially coming out of the military, and you're in the Navy, I'm in the Marines, sometimes cutting corners can cost people lives, you know, whether it be a product that's being provided or, you know, service that somebody cut corners on, or somebody didn't do something and it cost somebody's lives. Is a dynamic in organizations right now that people don't want to, you know, you grew khaki over years, you know, since the
40-some-odd years.
Exactly, right? I mean, so this is not a new thing, right? I mean, are people so driven right now to have like a quick success story, or, you know, I just got to make the quick money, or this, like, and then people don't want to take the 40 years to grow a company? Is that the case?
I don't know the answer to that, but I think you're onto something, because you can just reflect on what's going on with General Motors right now.
Right, sure.
They're talking about the ignition switch and so forth, and it's just very widely reported about that those difficulties and the deaths that occurred from that were essentially hidden in some way or other.
Right.
From the either leadership or the public. You have that all that thing that's going on in the Veterans Administration, for
that's
heaven's
right.
sakes.
That's right.
About the lapse in taking care of our wounded and disabled veterans and so on. So that seemed to have been motivated by a personal, a bonus type situations. And I'm not sure exactly the implications for General Motors, but there's two perfect examples. One of the things that we've done here at CECI, we've incorporated a brand. We call our main brand, our motto is Ever Vigilant.
Right.
Don't know if you noticed that, but
yeah.
That's not an accident. That's very intentional.
Okay.
The idea is to have our people to think in terms of being on our toes, being aware, competitively also, but also in terms of compliance with government regulations and law, the tax codes, whatever is appropriate that we should be complying with, but be ever vigilant, watching out. We also think of it in terms of being ever vigilant what's happening in our technology and our markets, too.
Right.
So it's a motto that serves many purposes in our organization and operation. I would just mention a couple other things about the book right quick, Derek. Former CEO and chairman over at Lockheed Martin, Norman Augustine, wrote the foreword to my book.
Mm-hmm.
And very much appreciated a man of his stature and character, quite frankly, has served our country in many ways in the government and in the industry as well. Also, Roger Staubach from the Naval Academy, those Redskins fans will know him as the Roger the Dodger of the Dallas Cowboys, a man of absolute integrity and character.
He was one of my favorite quarterbacks, Dr. London.
Okay. Let me go ahead and mention then also that I have two other endorsers of my book. One is Commander Everett Alvarez, the first American shot down, air pilot shot down in the Vietnam War, 8.5 years in the Hanoi Hilton prison.
Yeah.
Also, Colonel Lee Ellis, United States Air Force, 5.5 years. Both of these men have endorsed this book as all of these people have endorsed the notion of character and what I'm trying to communicate here. And I would just submit to you that those people are all individuals that clearly understand what the value and importance of character and integrity are all about.
Right.
So having their endorsements, I think, is just another indication that we're on the right track in terms of trying to bring this to the public, trying to bring a greater awareness to the individual and the organizations here, Derek.
You know, I want to keep this going because you talk about a couple different things. It's very, very important to me because you talk about it's not all about you. People are an asset. And you talk about kind of the dynamics of, you know, do as I say and as I do, not necessarily just do as I say. I want to talk about that. We got to take a quick break, but I want to really kind of get into that. And I want to kind of get rest into the book, into the vision. Vision and the action, because I think, you know, there's a big thing that I always talk to people about, and whether you believe in the Bible or other things like that, it's just a good verse that the people without a vision will perish, you know, and so I think you talk about this kind of dynamic of people having to have a vision, you know, and having a kind of a blueprint, because that inspires you to keep on pushing forward and everything else. I want to talk about that when we take a come back after this break. We're talking to Dr. Jack London. He is executive chairman and chairman of the board of CACI International. Their logo is Ever Vigilant, as Dr. London pointed out, which is very, very much on purpose. But we're talking about his book right now, Character, The Ultimate Success Factor. And we'll talk about where you can get the book on the next segment. But we'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about character. Such an important thing, especially as we talk about government service. We're talking about government contracting. We're talking about corporations. Such a big thing that we don't really hear about a lot of times, but should be the fabric and the foundation in which all of our organizations and all of us actually operate. You know, having character, having integrity, having a vision, having a blueprint, having, you know, taking action to do certain things, treating people a certain kind of way. We're talking about this right now. I have with me Dr. Jack London. He's the executive chairman and chairman of the board at CACI International, and he's written a book called Character, The Ultimate Success Factor. You can find CACI at CACI.com. But Dr. London, where can people find the book? Can they just order this on Amazon or bookstores? Where can they find this?
Yes, we're up on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, of course. And Kindle version is available. And I'd like to mention right now that all of my royalties and fees and the proceeds for any of the books that I sell all go to a Wounded Warrior charity.
Outstanding.
They go to an organization by the name of CAUS, C-A-U-S, and that's Comfort for America's Uniformed Servicemen and Women.
Okay.
And so every penny I paid for the book myself to have it printed. And we're getting ready to do our second printing, by the way.
Outstanding.
But all of my proceeds go to a very good cause and directly to supporting these wonderful people that have suffered so much in these last two wars, the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War, are the veterans that we provide rehabilitation, recreational support through the charity that I'm supporting here, CAUSE.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's important for people to know that it's not just you got a great read, but you're also supporting those who have given and sacrificed so much, you know, in wearing the uniform and protecting this country. And even as we have more warriors who are now doing even battle as we speak. In certain areas and trying to battle with the ISIS or whatever the case is, we need to always keep that in mind, that there are people out there who are in harm's way. Dr. London, you know, I mean, we mentioned about the dynamic of it's not all about you. People are an asset. What made you write that? I think that's so important. But what made you touch on that?
I think it's a realization that you just can't do it all by yourself.
Right.
You have to have your colleagues and associates and people you can work together to build an organization. I believe in the my little secret here, secret sauce, Derek, is what I call my double E.
Mm-hmm.
It's empathy and empowerment.
Wow. Okay.
Leadership, organizational leadership, project, task, or otherwise, has got to have a notion of empathy in the sense of what is important to the people in the organization, what their motivations are, what their difficulties are, their challenges in life, and so forth. Have an empathy and understanding of that, and so you can bring the team together. The empowerment side of it is there's no way to build a large, successful organization unless you have people you can trust and you can delegate and you can empower to make decisions and judgments and come forth with ideas and feel free to participate in the leadership of the organization. So my double E formula has been a part of this as we speak.
You know, I've been concerned over the past many years now, but, you know, it's definitely becoming more and more concerned to me that a lot of times, and you see this, whether it be in government or sometimes in military or whatever the case is, but you see this in terms of people not being treated like an asset, but people almost being treated as they're disposable. And you see the low morale that is going on in certain agencies and companies and other things like that. Where is this coming from that organizations seem to, you know, take people for granted and don't really treat them as assets and try to, you know, one, what you mentioned, the double E, have empathy for their situation sometimes and don't even put the resources, whether it be training or like you said, empowering them to do certain things and don't put that into people?
I'm not sure why our culture has evolved this way, and I'm not sure that it maybe hasn't always been this way with humankind,
sure,
in terms of organizations. But I know that it is a constant challenge in our organization to make sure that the people part of it is recognized and appreciated. I'm very sensitive to the value and importance of our people, and I work on it at the board level. I work on it at our top management level, and we have a team of folks here that do reflect and understand those issues. It's a constant work in process, Derek, to to make sure that we're doing the best in those regards.
Right.
There's somehow a tendency to let it drift away, just like you indicated. So it's a constant challenge. It has to be worked. And that's why I mentioned it in the book, the importance of people as assets and being colleagues and partners and associates in what you're trying to accomplish.
Do you think that there needs to be, and because a lot of organizations have gone away from training, right? Leadership training and everything. A lot of times people are promoted into leadership positions without, and you know, in the military, the military really does teach about kind of the leadership that even whether it be on the NCO or the enlisted ranks or on the officer ranks, you know, there's kind of something that you learn about take care of your people, make sure your people are good. The officers can't go. If you're, you know, you're a senior NCO, you let your other people go in front of you before they, you know, when they eat. Make sure this is that and others going on. How's your family doing? Because you got to make sure your family's okay. If you have to go into a combat situation, I need your mind focused. So is your family okay? That's the military kind of ingrained in the kind of training. But a lot of times in corporations, a lot of them have gotten away from leadership training. A lot of people who are leaders have not had that foundation. Is that something we need to do?
I would emphasize and underscore the continuing importance of that. Some of these things tend to be promoted aggressively, and then they drift away.
Right.
I've found that one of the challenges of senior leadership is to maintain the focus and priority on the important issues, just like we're talking about right now. By the way, I wanted to mention to you, speaking about the military, one of the things I did a number of years ago was to look at other organizations in terms of their character and how they develop their ethos and morale, and one of the organizations I studied was the United States Marine Corps. And in fact, the Harvard Business School had a case study work and research, 15, maybe 20 years ago, I forget exactly, but one of the things I discovered was how important the concept of mission, values, and pride was within the United States Marine Corps, and then the Semper Fidelis idea,
right.
The always loyalty, always faithful, sets up a whole ethos and character and culture that in many ways is self-sustaining in terms of morale, taking care of each other, never leaving a comrade behind, never letting down those that have gone before you, always standing up but representing in the good faith, best efforts. So I've tried to pull a lot of the military ethos, and particularly the United States Marine Corps, quite candidly, into the notion of what we do here at CACI. One other little quick one. I've heard people say organizations have head counts. I just can't stand that word. These are people. We don't have head counts. We have rosters. We have organizations. We have tables of content. But we don't, the head count idea, I like to think of people as being very important.
That's
and
right.
Certainly a significant part of what we're trying to do in our society and in our government and in our contract industry and certainly at CECI.
I'm so glad you're pointing that out because I think that so many people are forgetting about people and especially leaders. They think about the numbers. They think about the bottom line all the time. They think about all of the dynamics without thinking about how decisions are impacting people, impacting their lives. And if you don't take care of your people, you're not going to take care of your organization, and your organization is not going to grow and thrive and everything else. And I think that's something that you're applying with what you're doing at CACI. You know, I wanted to also touch on the other piece where do as I say and as I do. What was your thought on that? Tell us, break that down for us, Dr. London.
I think leadership has got to stand up and be accountable, the role modeling starts with the leaders. I'm a big one on role models and mentors and have had the great fortune to be affiliated with some of the people of the greatest generation that I worked for back in the 60s in my Navy days, wonderful people of significant character and rank and perform great duties and service and great courage in battle and combat. And I just keep thinking about the importance of all that and how it reflects in an organization. So it's do as I say and as I do is the basic concept. Don't think for a moment that what you do as a leader is not going to be observed by your peers and your colleagues and your subordinates.
That's right.
So it's related to all of that. The leadership has got to be accountable.
And really, people usually are inspired if a leader is out there doing the work as well, right? Or they know that you have done it and you're not just kind of saying, hey, do this and I've never done it before.
Right.
Then people will follow you more. But if you're the one who's just telling somebody to do something and sacrifice hours and sacrifice their lives or whatever the case is, right? And then you're not willing to stand with them, then there's a problem.
The notion of the value of leadership, a leader's not always going to be able to have done things that will have to be done in an organization.
Right.
But I think people read commitment. They read sincerity. They will read good faith. They will read the intent of people. And it doesn't take them long to sort out who is a mission person versus a politician. I use that in the lowercase sense of the word.
Sure.
The mission people we're looking for
right.
are those that are trying to accomplish the job that needs to be done for the organization. They will participate as a team member and contributor. The politically oriented type of people are the ones that are worried more about themselves than they are about what's happening in the program or the project or the company, the organization, the military unit or whatever. They're the kind of people that tend to be more interested in their own part of it rather than the overall. They tend to be the people that when something goes wrong are going to want to blame somebody else, and when it goes right want to take the credit for themselves. I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, but I think you get the thought.
No, that you're being real, Dr. London. You're being real.
Right. The mission type of people is what we're trying to encourage and develop and recruit and retain and have as part of our organization. I think we have a wonderful organization. And by the way, we're talking about the character crisis and so on in this country. The good news is that there are millions and millions of our wonderful citizens and colleagues in this great nation that want to do the right thing. They're trying to do the right thing. And I'm sure we'll get this thing turned around and headed the right direction again. I think it is a broad-gauge leadership issue in many kinds of institutions. Certainly not government by itself, but a whole lot of what we're doing in the educational process as well to get people thinking about doing the right thing.
We're talking to Dr. Jack London. He has written a book called Character, The Ultimate Success Factor. Dr. London is Executive Chairman and Chairman of the Board of CACI International, one of the biggest government contractors out there. They have grown over a number of years, over 40 years, have grown into a company from 35 people or less, all the way to a company of 15,000 people plus, and with worldwide offices and doing billions of dollars of revenue and profits. We're talking about the dynamics of success and character being a foundation of it. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about character. We are talking about a book called The Character, The Ultimate Success Factor. And it's a book by one of our corporate leaders, somebody who served in the military, who's been in harm's way, who came through the Naval Academy, somebody who's been in the dynamics of corporations and worked in terms of kind of building a government contracting firm from a small organization to a big organization. We've got Dr. Jack London with us. He's written this book called Character, The Ultimate Success Factor. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble and other sites. You can probably Google it and you can find it anywhere. If you buy the book, the proceeds go to CAUSE, which is an organization that supports wounded warriors. But Dr. London has written this book because he's seen the character crisis in America, and he wanted to kind of really start this conversation again, not just with government, not just with government contracting, not just military, but also our corporations, our nonprofits, just our society as a whole, and getting character down as the foundation again of what we do. Dr. London, I want to talk to you about two different areas, and I wish we had more time because we could probably talk about this all day. But we talked about vision, and you talk about the dynamics of kind of the practical vision and three ways to make things happen. Did you have a vision of where CACI was going to go? Did you, you know, how did you apply this to your own life and your stuff that you're doing?
I came to the company and was very favorably impressed about the kinds of things we were doing. But there's a quick bottom line here, Derek. I love the work we do for for our clientele. I think we provide a valuable service to our nation. I think we're very competitive and come up with good solutions and offerings to our clients and are faithful in trying to fulfill the expectations. But I'm in this because I believe in what we're doing. And if the United States, our wonderful country, has challenges, international or otherwise, I'd like to be a part of providing solutions in that arena. So it's something that's I do this because I want to do it,
right?
And I love to do it. And
right.
The people I work with, I have great admiration for them. Our government clients, some of the finest people that you'll ever meet. The military services, our civil sector clients, and the other Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, the other areas where we do business,
right.
And the intelligence community, all fine, wonderful people, and we're very proud to be a part of trying to come up with improvements and solutions to the many challenges our country faces.
Is that where you kind of talk to your people about vision, of kind of almost saying, listen, you need to be able to see a solution, you need to be able to believe that we can develop a solution and not just focus in on the problem, but we've got to see beyond it and see that we can solve it, even if it hasn't been done yet?
We emphasize innovation, creativity, the entrepreneurial aspect of problem solving here. And then when I speak of vision here, I'm speaking in a leadership sense.
Mm-hmm.
The vision, we obviously have business strategic plans that have to do with market opportunities, that have to do with technology advances and so on. And that's all very extremely important from a board level and a top management level in guiding our company, including through our mergers and acquisitions program. We're very aggressive acquiring companies and specialized organizations. But I was thinking more to respond to your question in the sense of a vision, in the sense of why we do what we do.
Right. Okay.
Was where I was coming from. But we believe me, we do have strategic plans for the economic aspects and the technology aspects, competitive aspects.
You know, you talk about action, Dr. London. You talk about and you mentioned something that's really, really very important about decision making can be intimidating, right? And so this whole process that sometimes people become fearful. I mean, it becomes paralyzing sometimes in order to make a decision because there may be so much on the line. What were you talking about when you talked about decision making and taking action and sometimes the pitfalls of indecisiveness?
Focus on that because relating to the notion of the ultimate success factor, character and integrity breeds, I think, faith in yourself, confidence, self-confidence, and it happens over a period of time, or at least it is my experience. Making smaller decisions gave me the confidence to make more important, broader-gauged, more critical decisions. So it's an evolutionary thing. It has been for me. But I think that inaction is something that an organization, the people in the organization, will become concerned about the leadership, decisiveness, the ability to see and make decisions. By the way, not all the decisions you make are going to be turn out right.
Right.
But it's how you adjust to them, how you handle them, the style of which you adjust and make corrections. And do it in an equitable fashion, in a proper and fair and an open fashion, I think only enhances leadership and the notion of character and respect. So the decisive decision-making aspect of character, I think, is a self-fulfilling attribute. Stronger leadership attributes lead to better decisions, I think, overall. So I think, again, that's an element it's very important in developing the character in the organization.
You know, you mentioned something, and we only got a few seconds, Dr. London, but yep. You almost mentioned about not being afraid to fail. Like, failure is part of a dynamic of decision-making. Do you really kind of embrace that you can't be afraid to sometimes fail, and you got to learn from your failures, and then that leads to that success?
Clearly. And by the way, being a person of great character, or good character, or integrity, doesn't mean you're always going to make good business decisions.
Right. Sure,
can have a wonderful integrity and still make bad decisions.
Right.
So the notion of failure has to be part of the perspective here, and how do you handle these things is the critical point. Real quick, Dwight Eisenhower, before the D-Day, June 6th, wrote a note to General Marshall, and he said in that note that if this D-Day Normandy invasions are not successful, that I want you to consider me as the accountable person. I will have been the one that is accountable for the failure, if there was a failure.
Right.
Of course, we all know it was a success.
Right.
But the point there was Eisenhower realized and was willing to stand up and be accountable.
That's right.
Very
That's right.
Big, important issue.
Dr. Jack London. He's executive chairman and chairman of the board of CACI International. Ever vigilant is their motto. And in his book, he talks about the dynamics of character. He talks about character being the ultimate success factor. You can find his book, Google it. You can find it at Barnes & Noble and a number of other places. We're probably going to have to definitely have you back on, Dr. London, because there's so much we could talk about. And I hate that we only have an hour to do so, because this is a conversation that I think we've got to continue to push, not only for our government, but also our military, our government leaders, our politicians, our corporations. We go on and on, but yeah. we gotta get this back as a foundation that people are really kind of embracing. Thank you so much for being on FedAccess.
I appreciate the opportunity, Derek. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to FedAccess with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. FedAccess with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.